These past few weeks, we've been doing this series called The Soul Reset. And I don't know about you, but I needed it. As we just dove into some different spiritual disciplines that we can put into practice in our own life to help us just reset, get grounded, connect with God. Super helpful stuff. That series is over, though, and I'm excited to introduce a new series that we're getting into today. Mini series is going to be for these next 3 weeks. The way I'll introduce what we're going to be talking about now for these next few weeks is this. I want to ask, have you ever gone into a mental autopilot? Like, you know what I mean by that? Like, you're just kind of doing and you're not really thinking. Like, you're just saying and not really thinking. All right, example, say you're at the movie theater, you know, taking people to the movie theater. You get your candy, your chips, your popcorn right beforehand. And then you're sitting down, you're watching all the ads and the trailers. And then the movie's finally about to start. You know, you're eating. And then all of a sudden, your hand's at the bottom of the bag. And you're just like, how'd I get here? You were just going, autopilot. You weren't even thinking about it. You're just going. Maybe another example, how about if you're in a conversation with someone, you're talking to someone, they're talking, you're listening to them, and you're just like, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. And then it's 40 seconds later, you've no clue what they've said that whole time. And you're trying to put context clues together real quickly. Oh, where are we at in the conversation now? I've done it. Now you may question our conversations we've had. I'm listening, I promise. Another example is we just go into autopilot. Parents, has there ever been a time you're you got to pick your kids up from school? And then halfway there, you're why am I almost at Walmart? I shouldn't be here. You know, you're driving to work and you're like, I don't know how I ended up in the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. It just happened. It's just what I know to do. It's just, we go on autopilot. What happens with autopilot is we're just kind of doing and doing and doing. We don't really think about it. And oftentimes what happens is it ends with us making a mistake. We end up doing something or saying something or maybe thinking or not thinking something. And it's just it's wrong. Now, it's funny when we talk about it in that way, but it could also be a little dangerous because sometimes when we aren't thinking that much about everything we're doing, it could weasel its way into our spiritual life and in our walk with God. Or we're just kind of doing and doing and doing. We're not really thinking about it. An example is church. We're just going to church. Maybe it's because it's the right thing to do or it's because we've always done it. What else would we do? But it's let me ask, why do you go to church? If you think about it, what is it that you want? Are you going just to go because it's the right thing? This gets a lot deeper, really quick when we think about it, how we just kind of go into autopilot and we're doing things without really thinking about it. So the title for this series that we're going to be going through these next 3 weeks is called On Purpose. Turning off autopilot. And the reason for that is because we want to think more intentionally. We want to think more purposefully. We want to be more thoughtful, especially when it comes to our relationship with God and what we're going to do these next few weeks. This series could be so much longer, but what we're going to do is we're just quickly cover over different aspects of our life, different aspects of our walk with God that this can heavily affect. Today, we're going to talk about how it affects our social life. Because it can really, really hurt our social life. What I mean by that is sometimes when we're just in autopilot, we're just doing our routine, we're doing the thing, so often we're on our own. When you're just doing and doing and doing, you're just figuring things out for yourself, you're doing what you know to do, and sometimes we forget to reach out to people that we might want to reach out to. Maybe we aren't super focused on and being present with what's going on with family, maybe close friends. We just kind of lose track of things. And that's really dangerous because what we're talking about today is we were built to belong. When I say that, I mean the way that God built us, the way he created us and designed us is we were built to belong to people, to his people, the family we were created to not just do this life on our own and by ourselves, but to have other people around us, to support us, to be there for us, to do life with. That's how we were created. Sometimes when we go into autopilot, though, we just kind of forget about that. We get distracted and we do things on our own. Today we're going to be in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you want to turn there, if you have a Bible or the Bible app on your phone, you could turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. That's where we're going to be today. And if you know anything about this book, you probably don't hear too many messages on this, but maybe you don't know anything about it, so I'll let you know that this book has this theme of being kind of like depressing. Like the word that keeps popping up, it pops up 30, 40, 50 times throughout the book. The word meaningless keeps popping up. The author, he keeps saying, this is meaningless and meaningless and meaningless. The phrase he uses is under everything under the sun. You see him say that phrase a lot. What the author's trying to say throughout this book is everything that we can pursue in this life, whether if it's some kind of status or some kind of wealth or some kind of power or fame or pleasure, any of this, like ultimately you go throughout the book and he keeps saying like all this is meaningless. It's not gonna satisfy. It's not gonna fulfill. And the really, really interesting thing about this is to consider who's writing all this. Most scholars believe that the author of Ecclesiastes is King Solomon. That's important to know if that's true because he was known and called to be the wisest man of his time. He knew a lot, and we know that because when he first became the king, he's the son of David. When he first became king, God asked him what he wanted, and he asked for wisdom, and God honored that, and he was called and known to be the wisest man of his time. So if this is him writing these words, we should really, really pay attention to them. Because this is a pretty smart guy, and we're not just talking about anybody too. We'll get into a little bit more about who he specifically was. But I want you guys to remember one thing. In case, you know, I understand if you like zone out, tune out, you know. That happens. But if I could have your attention right now, I need you to remember this one thing, and that is that godly community is a catalyst for spiritual growth. That is what we're going to see throughout these verses, that it tremendously helps our growth with God and our walk with God when we have other people with us. Because what he's going to talk about is doing life on your own versus doing it with other people. So as I said, we'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and as we go through these verses, I think there's going to be three different lessons that we can take away, three lessons about godly community and something that he really wants us to know. So I'll be starting in verse 7. It says this, "Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun." Do you feel encouraged yet? "I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business." The first lesson we learn about godly community is that godly community cannot be replaced. Now, I want to take you guys back for a second. Genesis chapter 1. In the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, it's all about what? Creation. It's all about creation. God created everything day, 6 days. And after each day, he created something. God looked at it, and when he looked at it, he said, it is, oh, we got some people, you know. He said, it is good. Everything he created, he looked at it and said, it is good. It's cool, when he created mankind, he said, it is very good. That's a cool little note in there. What would you do if I told you, though, that maybe there was something that wasn't good? Maybe there was something that God saw wasn't good. There was something. No, I'm not saying God's not perfect. I'm not saying God made a mistake. That'd be heresy. I'd probably get fired if I said that up here. God is perfect. What I am saying is that when God looked at everything he created, he saw something that wasn't finished yet. If we see this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, he's looking at Adam and he says, "It is not good that man should be alone, and I will make a helper fit for him." Since the very beginning of creation and the very beginning of time, loneliness, isolation, doing it on our own has never been a good thing. That God saw that right from the gate, and the first thing he thought of was, he needs someone else. He can't just be here on his own. If God saw that as a need, how much more should we prioritize that in our life? Like, that's why, like, to God, relationships matter so much. Marriage matters so much. Friends matter so much to him. Because from the very beginning, he saw it as a need for creation, not for us to just do it on our own. Solomon sees that for himself as he's writing this, because you have to remember, we're talking about a guy who was a king. He had a lot of power, so much power. He had a lot of fame. He had a lot of wealth, a lot of possessions. And we see these words in here saying, it's all meaningless. What's the point if people aren't doing this thing with other people? What's the point if I don't have other people to share this experience and this wealth and all this with? He describes it as meaningless. We weren't created to just do this life on our own. Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, "How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity." We were created to live together and to be with each other. So I have to ask you, who are your people? We were built to belong. We were built to have godly community. We weren't built to just do it on our own. That's what happens when we go into autopilot. We just kind of do our own thing and we forget about the other people that God really wants to surround us with and to have, just to have our back. Godly community can't be replaced. That's the first lesson. The second lesson we'll see in verse 9 and 10 says this: "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up." The second lesson about godly community is that godly community gets more done. It's more productive. Let me ask, have any of you moved, like, from location, from house to house? Have you ever tried moving by yourself? Have you ever tried doing the packing and the unpacking process by yourself? How would you describe it? I would say miserable. It's hard. It's tiring. It's time consuming. It's so hard. We just moved recently, me and my wife. And guess what? We had a lot of people and a lot of friends alongside us to help us. It makes life so much easier. You move so much quicker. Hey, and guess what? It's even a little bit more fun when you're doing it with other people, when you're doing it with your friends. It's a little bit more enjoyable rather than just being by yourself sweating. You know, the same thing applies to our walk with God. You know, as we're trying to learn more about God, as we're trying to grow in our faith, we're trying to learn more about God's word, we're trying to memorize, we're trying to learn and grow and do all this. It's so much easier when we do it alongside other people. When we have other people that we can meet with and talk about God with, like, our faith grows so much. I know for me, when I was at college, that's the place where I grew the most, so much, so fast. And it wasn't because of my classes. It wasn't because of clubs, or it wasn't because of anything I was a part of, but it was because of my friends. It was because of the other believing friends that I had around me, surrounding me, that all the conversations we were able to have, I'm able to hear all their different perspectives. We're able to talk about so much more about life, I was able to grow so much more in my faith because I wasn't just doing it by myself. Like, we were created to do it with other people. Now, I'm not saying you can't grow on your own. I'm not saying when you're just, you know, having your quiet time with God and you're reading that, you're not doing the right thing. That's important. But if you're just relying on that, what I am saying is you're missing out on something. God created us to do it with each other, to not stop. Meet Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. It says to not stop gathering with each other and the importance of us to continue to come together. That's not something we could avoid. When you're just doing it on your own, it slows you down. It can stunt your growth. But when you have, just like moving, when you have other people come alongside you, things can become a little bit easier. You're not sweating as much trying to figure things out and you have people you can ask questions with, people you can talk about God with. Acts chapter 2 really, really displays beautifully what the church body is meant to look like, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act. Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And then it says this, all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anybody who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. Together, 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 together. We see this as a theme throughout the early church, where they were doing life together. They didn't stop meeting together. And we see, as you continue in the book of Acts, God continues to add to their number daily the people who were being saved. And I can only imagine that was possible because of these people coming together. Like, how much stronger of a church can we be if we're not just doing it by ourselves, but we're an actual church family? And new people step in here, and they see that. And they see there's something special about here. And it's not just a church. It's the thing that we have in common. And that's Jesus. How much stronger can we be when we continue to do things together and together? So who's the person that you can find, that you can build that relationship with, that you can talk with, that you can say, hey, let's get together. Hey, let's go out to lunch. Let's get to know. Hey, I don't care. You're a Patriots fan. Like, it's fine. Like, right? Like, we can just get to know each other. Sometimes it takes, like, let's be honest, this is hard. Like, relationships is hard because it takes effort. But as I said before, we need to prioritize it because God prioritized it from the very beginning. Godly community gets more done. The last lesson we see, reading verses 10 through 12. It says, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. The last lesson about godly community is that it comforts and supports you. It has your back. It's there for you. Another story I have from college was when I was at school, as I said, I loved it. Best 4 years. I grew so much. It was so much fun. But I'd be lying if I stood up here and said there weren't hard times too. In particular, my junior year, my sophomore year and junior year, it was really tough. There was a lot of stuff going on. I struggled a lot with anxiety and depression. And I wasn't in a great place mentally. It was affecting different aspects of my life. And I knew I needed someone to talk to. I needed something a little bit more. And thankfully, I had a professor who was so great We had a close connection with each other, and he agreed to not just like be a mentor for me, not just to be a counselor for me, but also just to be a friend. So we met once a week, every week for throughout my junior year. And I remember that first meeting when I stepped in there. I'm in there, he asks me to unload everything. So I unload all the stuff, everything I'm struggling with, all this stuff. And the first question he asks me is, who knows about this? So I was like, all right, well, these, you know, two of these guys know, I'm really close with them. And he's like, all right, who else are you like really close with that could know about it? And I'm like, all right, well, there's this guy in my dorm. I'm really close with them. They don't know about it, but I could have a conversation. And he's like, all right, stop. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to sit these guys down. It shouldn't be hard. You're already close friends. And just pour your heart out and say, hey, this is what's going on. And I need people. I need you to have my back. I need support. If there's a day that is exceptionally hard, it would mean a lot if you were there for me. For the first 3 weeks of me meeting with him for counseling, all we talked about was my support system. Who were the people that I had around me? Because he would say, like, I can sit here and I can give you wisdom and I can help you and that'll be helpful, but that's only going to get you so far. We're meeting once a week with each other for an hour. Who are the other people in your life that can be there for you when I'm not meeting with him? Like, not saying that that's not helpful, that's not good, that's a step that we should be taking, but we need more than that. Who is your support system? Like, because let's be honest, like, I'm sure all of you understand, like, this life's hard. I know there's probably a lot of you that stepping into here with hidden hurt, brokenness, frustrations, stress, worry, hardship, you name it. Everyone probably has something that's just weighty on them. We weren't created to deal with that alone. God saw that as a need. We need other people to be there for us, to pick us up, to lift us up, to have our back. We see this throughout scripture. The two verses I want to read real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Build each other up. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We need to be there for each other. And maybe you're in a season right now where maybe things aren't super hard, and something you could do is you could be the one to reach out to someone. You could be the one to offer support and help. And maybe there's someone you've been thinking about, just like, hey, maybe I should reach out to so-and-so. I wonder how they're doing. Maybe God gave you that thought for a reason, and they could really use someone right now. And it takes time for you to reflect on that. Like, are you in a position where you think you really need to build support around you? Or do you think God's put you in a position in a season right now where you can support someone and walk alongside them? Both of those things are so important for us. That's how God created us and designed us. So these three lessons, as I said, godly community can't be replaced. It gets more done, and it comforts and supports you. So this is the last thing I'll say. I'll have the worship team come out. I just have one quick thing. These past few weeks, I've been under the impression that you guys like illustrations. I think Pastor Josh has been doing a lot of that. All right, so I have a little one for you. We'll do here real quick. So up here with me, I have some string. Listen, this isn't crazy. This isn't no gym for muscles or anything. I just have string. All right. How many people think I could rip this one piece of string by a show of hands? Not a lot of people. Wow, that hurts a little, but we'll give it a try. There you go. All right, you saw how easy that was. All right, thank you. All right, let's up the ante a little bit. Two pieces of string. All right, how many people think I could rip two pieces of string? Ah, a few more hands now. Maybe I proved myself. All right, let's try to rip two pieces of string. There we go. That was a little bit harder. All right, let's up it again. Shall we? Three. Show of hands. How many people think I could rip three pieces of string? I saw some hands go up pretty quickly. Thank you. That means a lot. Three pieces of string. I'm a little nervous for this one. I'll be honest. All right, here we go. That was a little bit harder. I was nervous there. That wasn't going to rip. All right, let's do one more thing. I'm not going to add four. That's crazy. Come on. No, what I'm going to do instead is what I have. I prepared this in advance. It's the same string, and it's three again. I just ripped three. However, these three are braided together. Now, if I try to rip this, I'm going to be completely honest. I've been trying to rip this all week. Very honest. So if I try it, I would love to say I'm not trying right now, but it's the same string. It's the same three strands. We get it. All right, here's the point I'm making here. You see, this is us, just one string. So often, we just live life like this, doing it ourselves, doing our own thing, figuring it out. But the second you face some tension, some pressure, hardship, stress, worry, the second you face that pressure, you're a lot more easy to break. You see, though, the more that I added, the stronger it was, the harder it was to break. Another cool thing, though, is that there's a difference between three individual strands and three strands that are braided together. And it's the same way with us. Like, having two or three other people in your life, but they're just surface level relationships, just more of like a, hey, how you doing? And that's really it. Versus you're having the hard conversations. Like, you have people there that keep you accountable. You have people there that love you, that are support you, like you're there. When you're interwoven with each other, you're a lot stronger. Another important note, the last verse that we've read says a cord of three strands is not broken easily. It doesn't say it won't be broken. It's just not as broken as easily. I think that's important for us to remember, because ultimately, at the end of the day, we still need God. A lot of us have a lot of hurt and a lot of stuff going on. We need God. We need Jesus. He is where we find peace and joy, even in the midst of the storms. And those storms can be pretty real sometimes. But it's a lot more helpful too when you have people alongside you to be there for you, to help you, to be your support system. People that can pick you up, people that can have your back. So I want to ask you, who are your people? Also, who is your God? How much are you relying on God in those moments, and also having those people alongside you to pick you up? Because you're gonna be really hard to break when the struggles of life come. What's the first step that you can take to finding people? Maybe it's something as simple as here in the church. What a better way to start than right here. Find someone maybe you don't know and say, hey, you don't know me, I don't know you. Let's get coffee sometime this week. Let's get to know each other a little bit better. Something as simple as that. We have this showcase happening out here. It's a really great opportunity to get plugged in with people. Maybe to serve on a team and get to know the people on that team a little bit better. Maybe there's small groups that we have. Maybe you can get connected in one of those. Have a group of people come around you. There's a young adult group that just started, and it's led by a really cool guy. He's really cool. Like, he'd love to talk to you. Yeah, it's me. Also, parents, I have a message for you too. This whole topic matters just as much for your kids as it does for you. So if I could ask, who are your kids' people? Who are their influences? Life's still, you know, if we could all just be a kid again, yeah, that'd be great. But they still go through hard times, tough times, still have questions. Who are their influences? Maybe a great step, it's we have a great kids ministry here. And they're gonna be starting something that starts up in October that meets during the week. We have a youth ministry that's kicking off. What a great opportunity to maybe get them plugged into something where they have other people around them to point them to Jesus, especially in such a crazy and chaotic world that we live in. We all need people. This life's hard, but God didn't create us to just do this life on our own, to just go on autopilot. He created us to be with people, to belong. Who are your people? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this time you've given us to get in your word. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for your son. Where would we be without Jesus? Thank you so much. And God, I know that there's probably a lot of people in here who have been hurting right now, hurting in the past. God, I'm so thankful though that you didn't create everything with the intention of us doing it alone. No, you intended for us to do life with others, to have a community. I thank you so much for this, the church, and that the church is so much more than just a building, but it's the body, it's your people. Help us to get more connected, to find more people, to help us, to lift us up. Give us the courage to be the people, to support others who may be going through a tough time, God. We need each other, but way more importantly, we need you. We need you, God, and I pray that you would comfort us and help us to see you. I pray that each person in here would know you personally and just continue to push into you more and more and more. God, we thank you so much for your love. We pray that you'd help us to just continue to step in stride with you and to focus more on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.